Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
I want to talk today about being committed. Everybody shout, be committed.
Be committed.
You know, if you're not committed, sometimes you might need to be committed. Talent is great, but you could actually be less talented, more committed, and like have a better run than a person who had mad skills. Talent mixed with commitment is incredible. God wants to do great things in your life, but he wants you to be committed. I think Jesus, of course, typified and just personified exactly what I'm talking about right now. He was so committed to us that he actually died on the cross. Think about this. Jesus did no sin, yet he pays for the sin of all mankind when he dies on the cross 2,000 years ago for us. And it was a big deal. He said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. That's what I said the first time Nicole made me breakfast. But anyway, that's all that's said. Is there any other way? Let this cup pass from me. And then he says, all right, nevertheless, not my will, because I'm so committed, not my will, but thy will be done. People say they're committed, but they're not that committed. People say, yeah, I want to get married, but really what they want is to like plan a wedding, have somebody throw rice in their hair, have great Instagram photos, but they're really not committed. I see it all the time. Girls say, well, you know what? It changed my life. I don't need a man telling me what to do. You know, it changed my life. You can't get a man and then not change your life. You can't get a puppy and then not change your life. Come on, somebody. You can't get a goldfish and then not change your life. I see girls all the time and say, you know what? I don't need a woman telling me what to do. Listen, you knew a woman was going to tell you what to do. Siri is telling me what to do. A GPS is a woman telling you what to do. In life, there's going to be something that you need to get committed to. People say, I want a job. I want to be committed to the job. They go to the job. They get a paycheck. Really, what they wanted was a paycheck, not passion. So they weren't really committed. So therefore, God never blessed them with anything that was their own. Because the Bible said, if you're not faithful over what's another man's, then God can't make you faithful over what is yours. It's all about being committed. 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 Everybody shout, be committed.
Be committed.
Be committed. Be committed. Come on. Be committed. A lot of y'all didn't go to cheerleading school. Be committed. God is all about you being fully committed. I have a question for you. What would happen if you really, really threw yourself wholly and solely into the marriage? Would it get better? What if you just burned the boats and started the business? What would happen in 2019? You might not see results right now, but you would see results in years to come. You'll never know if you're not totally committed to go back to school, totally committed to lose the weight. But then sometimes there's opposition on the way to the breakthrough. I always say, you know, don't break down before you break through. And the enemy somehow, don't ask me how I know, but the enemy knows when you're getting really close to the breakthrough, the supernatural intervention of God, when you're about to see with clarity the manifestation of your dreams and the prayers that you prayed, and he'll fight you the hardest right before the breakthrough. I always say the greatest fight to faith is the last 5 minutes. It's the last 5 minutes when they give up. But if you just keep on going and you say, you know what, I will not grow weary in well-doing. I will reap if I faint not. I'm going to do what God called me to do. I'm equipped for this. I'm empowered for this. I'm anointed for this. I'm qualified for this. And I am committed. I'm committed.
Yep.
Committed. You know, if you're not committed, you might need to be committed. Be committed to the plan that God has on the inside of your heart, that dream. There's a story in the Bible, and a lot of you watching in Palm Beach County or in St. Louis County today, I really want you to pay attention because you might be thinking, where's that church at? I need a church like that. Well, we're here right now teaching you things on Sunday that you can apply on Monday that'll change your life forever. And the Bible is so real. Check this story out. In Genesis 29, we read about this story of a guy by the name of Jacob. Check this out. Genesis 29, verse 20, it says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and it seemed but yet a few days because he loved her. It seemed just a few days he's serving for this woman. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife. I fulfilled my days that I may go into her. Bow chicka wow wow. You know what I'm saying? This is going on right now. And so now Laban gave his daughter Leah the handmaiden. And it came to pass in the morning, behold, that Leah was in the bed. And he said to Laban, what have you done to me? I've served for Rachel for 7 years, and you have beguiled me. He had been serving for Rachel, and he wakes up with Leah. The Bible says that she was tangle-eyed. I'm not sure what that means, but it doesn't sound good, right? So it's like it says that Rachel was beautiful, but Leah was tangle-eyed. And if you're tangle-eyed, please forgive me. I don't know what it means, but it doesn't sound good. he served for this. Bait and switch comes up, and he says, oh, I thought you knew that you serve, but you've got to take my older daughter first, and then now you serve for another 7 years, and then you get Rachel. He looks over and says, you've beguiled me. How many of y'all know this girl now has some real insecurity issues? Come on, raise your hand right now. Somebody might have looked at you and said, you're too this, you're too that, you're not enough this, you're not enough that. You can never judge a book by the cover. The contents of the box might be better than the outside of the box. People say that beauty is only skin deep, and I agree with that. Of course, you have to have chemistry with somebody, but never allow your affirmation to come from a man or a woman. Your affirmation comes from God. You're created in the likeness of the image of God. Don't let people bully you. Somebody ought to shout amen to this. Don't let people put you down. Go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. Hashtag that. Go where you're celebrated, but not where you're tolerated. So now she's sitting there feeling insecure. This man looks at her and says, I don't love you. I can't believe he tricked me. So then she asks God, God, how can I make him love me? And that's where the song came up with, I'm gonna make you love me. Oh, yes, I will. No, it's not true, but it does fit in there. You can't make people love you. You can try really hard. I was in a marriage, great girl, but married her for 8 years, and I loved her more than she loved me. Eventually, she left me. She divorced me because it's really a weird feeling, and only a few of you might know this watching my television, to love somebody way more than they love you. I certainly don't want to give that feeling to God, to where he loves us way more than we love him. And we show it not just by a thought, but by an act of a deed. We're saying, no, God, I really do love you. I'm not perfect, but I'm committed to you. I'm not right, but I'm committed to you. Lord, with everything that you've done for me, I'm going to give my whole life to you. Whatever it is, tangled up, messed up, jacked up, I'm going to give it up. Somebody ought to help me right now to God. And then you might be sitting there right now in the middle of the night watching this with a needle in your arm or smoking weed or feeling like that you can never ever be loved by God. I'm telling you, he loves you when you're high. He loves you when you're gay. He loves you when you're straight. He doesn't love all of our sin, but he loves the sinner. For God so loved the world. Somebody ought to shout amen to this, that he gave his only begotten son because he was committed to you. Why don't you step out in faith and 19 and say, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to give my heart and soul to Jesus, and I'm going to see what God can do. In 2020, you have 2020 clarity of the goodness of God, that he's for you and he's not mad at you, but he loves you. Be persuaded today that I'm talking to you right now, not as a preacher, but as a friend. He took my mess and made a message. He took my test and testimony. It's what he did for me. It's what he did for all these people that are voting for you right now. God loves you. Come on, somebody ought to give him praise. He loves you. She says, oh man, I really need him to love me. Verse 30 says, and he went also into Rachel, because he served for 7 years. We fast forward 7 years. He now goes to Rachel. He loved Rachel more than Leah. He served for that 7 years. In verse 31 it says, and when the Lord saw, I love this, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened up her womb. When the Lord saw that she was hated, he opened up her womb. And what's really cool about God is when he sees injustice, he goes, oh, he hates you. He doesn't love you. I'm going to allow her to be barren. She'll never be able to produce for him, but you will be able to produce. And so God actually uses the thing that the devil meant to harm you to actually cause production in your life. So she never did get information from him, but she got it from him, and she begins to bear fruit, and the other can't give Jacob what she can give. Now, there's still a little bit of kind of mental anxiety and things that need to be dealt with here, because she's still actually producing for the love of the man. See, you can't ever make God love you. He loves you just the way you are. He loves you too much to leave you that way, but we don't impress God with like, hey, I went to church 4 weeks in a row. That's what we should do. But it's not like you go to heaven if you got the bulletin receipts for 4 weeks in a row. It's not. We're saved by grace, and that not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. It's grace plus nothing. But she's trying to actually get Jacob to love her, and so she has four sons, which is incredible, because now that's what people and kings wanted back then, was to have these boys. And so she has the one son, and then she has the second one, and the third one she has. We could pause on each one of them, because they're very prophetic and symbolic. But number three, his name is Levi, and Levi means grafted, engrafted in, engrafted. The Bible said that the word should be engrafted in your heart. Just we get the skin graft. If something were to happen to your hand or your face, they would take a portion of skin from the other part of your body and they would graft it up. You can't get that done in med first in 15 minutes and just one time be done. It's a process that takes time, but that skin grafts to your skin and actually takes root and actually produces life and vitality from one location to the other. That's why the Bible says, "Thy word hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." When you hear the word, it goes down into your heart, that Levi, that third son, it's actually engrafting in your heart. And then when trouble comes to you, if the word hits your heart and you've got it, now out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when the checkbook's low, you say, "My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." If you have a physical setback and the doctor said, "Hey, this diagnosis can't be changed," you go, "With long life he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. He sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from all their transgressions. I was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes I am healed. Let the weak say I'm strong." That's engrafted word. That's why the enemy fights you so hard, even a church setting like this today. The word that's engrafted actually sticks to your heart. The word that goes over your head does you no good. So that's why sometime, and I understand it happens, you'll be doing your Walmart list while I'm preaching. Anybody in here, be honest, and you've actually went other places around the country while I was preaching. Go ahead, don't lie to me in church. You just take a break for a minute. You're like, "Where am I going to eat lunch? What am I doing tomorrow? What am I going to wear tomorrow? Did I turn the stove off?" And so you go, and that word flies above your head. But if you'll focus for 30 minutes on Sunday, it'll change the trajectory of your life, and you'll realize that you're the cultural architect of your life, that you will pave your world with your words, and you'll be able to say, "I've got it engrafted in, and now I'm going to have a successful life, not based on what I've done, but what Jesus has done, and I'm going to take full opportunity of that forever."
Right.
Now, the cool part about the last one she has, his name is Judah. Everybody shout it loud and strong, Judah.
Judah.
We know that Jesus comes from the line of the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. In Old Testament days, they would always send the praisers in first. When they went to battle, they sent the praisers in first because the Bible said praise stops and stills the avenger. She served like crazy. She's tried to get Jacob to love her like crazy. She can see them laughing, having picnics, having a great time. She's over with the children right now, and she's getting no love. She's tangled, and the enemy is speaking to her life. "You're no good. You're no good. You're no good. He doesn't love you. You're not esteemed." And you're trying to get all this affirmation from him. And so the last son, she says, "I'm going to name this one praise, because no longer am I going to try to get him to love me. I can't make them happy, but I'm just going to praise God anyway." And in this last situation, I'm going to praise God. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. So that means in adversity, you praise God. In trouble, you praise God. The wine's out of the marriage, praise God. You're not happy with your kids, praise God. You're not happy with where you live, you praise God. You're sitting there just praising God, saying, "I've had all these children for affirmation. I've had all these children to make me feel good. I've done all of this and got all this education to make people be impressed with me. But no longer is it going to be about me. It's not my will anymore. It is your will. God, I'm giving my life to you. I'm giving my heart to you. Every breath that I have, every day that I have for the rest of my life is going to be the best of my life. I'm going to say, let the weak say I'm strong. I say that I'm blessed coming in, that I'm blessed going out, that good," somebody ought to shout hallelujah to this, "good is being attracted to me. The right people are coming into my life. The wrong people are exiting my life." Praise, praise. The Bible said praise stops and stills the avenger. In other words, stop doing things to get people to love you.
Yeah, right.
I'm 50 this year, September the 9th. You might want to write that down. You forgot last year. This year I turned 50, half of 100, man. And being half of 100, I've come up with some things along the trail that I won't do. Things I don't do. Things I know works for me and things I don't know that I know that just doesn't work for me. When I was younger, I was seeking the approval of people because I had low self-esteem issues. I grew up in a trailer, didn't have a very good education, came from the poor side of the tracks. And I was, a lot of the things that I did, I was looking to try to get people to like me or to try to impress people. But then once you do become relatively successful, no longer do you try to impress people. You just are who you are. So you don't have to wear a certain kind of shoe. It's nice if somebody gives it to you or whatever, but you don't have to live in a certain kind of house. People are always amazed in the house that we live in because it's so understated for the blessing of the Lord that has been on our life. We just live in a subdivision, not behind gates, not against people that do, but we just live in a regular subdivision with regular neighbors in a regular place in a little bitty house. Our kitchen's small, our bedroom's small, everything's small, but we just realize why pay taxes on a big house? It's little, and Nicole was tired of me vacuuming all day long. Come on, somebody. So she's like, just get things around. I run things around my house, the vacuum, the dishwasher, and my mouth. Come on. And so but we just realized all you really need is a bedroom and a kitchen. How many of y'all know if you can eat and have a bed, come on, you got what you need. And so we weren't trying to oppress people anymore. And then what it does is it takes the pressure off of you. And then you realize that some of the friends that you were trying to be friendly with, that if you had to work too hard to try to be friends with them, it wasn't really reciprocated. I realized that true friends are people that you can call when you're sick. True friends are ones that really love you. So we have acquaintances, and I mean, I know I've got, I think 35,000 friends on Facebook, but I'm not sure we're all friends. But I'm here to tell you today that only so many people should be allowed access in the part of your life that actually is a true friend. And so you got to get in a small group, get in the right church, get around the right people and stop trying to get praise and affirmation from people. And the sooner you can get a hold of that, the more confidence you will have. You don't just need confidence, you need Godfidence. And Godfidence comes on the inside of you and you say, you know what? I'm equipped for this. I'm empowered for this. They don't like me, but that doesn't matter. And I'm not going to throw hate or shade on them. I'm not drinking hate or egg. I'm going to love people even if they don't love me, and they can be different from me, and just because they're different from me doesn't make them bad. God made everybody, and everyone is unique in their own way, and I'm too busy actually living my life to be comparing what God's doing in them with what God's doing in me, because that makes me miserable. I'll add the applause. We'll just add it in. Come on, somebody ought to shout it out. Be passionate. Obviously, we're not trying to please men. Galatians 1, verse 2, St. Paul said this. He said, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I wouldn't be Christ's servant. And I want people to like me. I want people to love me. I don't want to make anybody mad. But at the end of the day, I'm not a DJ. I don't play requests of people. I have to play to the tune of what God wants in my life. And I want you today, and you today in Palm Beach County, maybe you're watching in Okeechobee, Port St. Lucie, Fort Lauderdale, wherever you're at. Church Alive is worth a drive. You need to get out there this weekend, 10 and 1140 at the Palm Beach High School. It's a big auditorium like this. And we have church here on Sunday in Royal Palm Beach and Tuesday nights. You need to get there. If you're in St. Louis, we have a church in Ferguson, Florissant, Earth City, Sunset Hills, Weldon Springs. The Bible said, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together. Get there. And here's what I see all the time. I see people looking for love in all the wrong places. There's a guy that lives in the building that I do in Florida, and I really like this guy. He's really cool. And young dude. And I kept inviting him to church. Come to church, come to church. Not join a church, not join a religion, but just come to church and just try it out. And we've been kind of acquaintances. And he's a really cool dude. And he's a young dude, not even 30, and he's always got like three models beside him. Just always. He's just a partying cool guy. He owns I'll just say it because he would probably love the endorsement. He actually owns one of the biggest hard liquor distributorships around, and he's a young man. And so obviously he's got all these girls that model for him and so on, and I'm not sure how many of them really love him. But at some point, we have these talks about, I wonder who's really going to love you. I wonder if she really loves you. Because it's hard to tell when you get really blessed and you have a lot of money. You never know. In fact, I wonder that sometimes. I'll be, you know, walking through a restaurant and I'll see a guy with like a 100-foot yacht and a Bentley, and he's like 80, and then a 30-year-old girl, and I just wonder, does she really love him? I don't know. I just wonder. It makes me wonder. We might edit that out too, because you seem to be offended by what I'm saying. Seem like the women would stay with me when I say something like that with Nicole. She's like, you just remember that. You can't trade me in when I'm 40 for 220s. You ain't wired for 220. It'll kill me. Do you hear me right now? I'll bust a cap in you and tell God you died. I can pastor this church with you or without you. Do you understand me? You go vacuum this little house. But he said this to me when I said, come to church, come to church, come to church. He said, man, I can't come to church. The ceiling will fall in. I said, who told you that? Like, that's something. Have anybody ever heard that? I mean, who made that up? It's like the devil's like, da 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 da. We got a big memo out. Tell the world, if you've ever done something bad, don't go to church because the roof would fall in and God doesn't like it when that happens. Well, I just thought of this. I never thought of this, but I love it. Remember Jesus was preaching one day? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus is speaking one day, and all of a sudden, somebody tears the roof off of the church and lowers the guy down. And when they lower him, God said, I saw their faith. God's not afraid of a roof being torn off, fall off. He's interested in you getting under the roof, and the enemy's trying to keep you from it, because if he knows that if you'd ever commit your life to God, not only would your life change here right now, but your eternal destiny would change forever, because there really is a heaven, and you know there really is a God, and he's after you. He loves you. Don't care about the roof. We got that. Oh, Lord, I'm preaching good right now. Your relatives have been praying for you. Your aunt was praying for you.
Yeah.
You know down deep in your soul, there's a God. Keep inviting people. We, the church, fight people, bring people. I'm talking to you. You need to get up today and get around people. If you're the smartest person at the table, you're at the wrong table.
Right.
I just feel this. As I've only got like 6 minutes left, but I want to go here for a moment. It's not in my notes, but I feel like somebody on television is watching right now, and you're a woman and you're overweight and you feel bad about you because of what he said to you. So now you're hiding behind a screen and you don't go out anymore. You don't run anymore. You abuse food at home because you feel like nobody loves you. God sent me to you today to tell you this. Love isn't a feeling. And feelings are fickle. Just because they said that's the way you are, that was them trying to abuse or abnormally use you. But God is saying that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and he loves you just the way you are, and you need to start seeing that love, not only from God, but from other people. Somebody somewhere will love you. But you never get love until you give love. You never get love until you get out around loving people. And I'm not just talking about church people. I'm just saying in America, everywhere I go, I traveled 9,800 miles this week, multiple cities all around, and wherever I go, whether I was in Corpus Christi or I was in San Antonio or I was in Dallas, Fort Worth, Love, all those places I was at today, this week alone, Florida, all those places. America's full of a lot of good people. There's some people that are rude, but there's still some people sitting around that just good old boys and girls that just talk to you. But if you never get outside of the house, I promise you, you'll never ever feel the feeling of love that you really need. And I can assure you that love comes from the house of God. If you come here, we're going to love you. We're going to, come on, somebody ought to help me right now. We're going to embrace you when the devil tried to erase you. God saw, verse 30, one more time. God saw that she was hated, so he opened up her womb. He saw that she was hated. Every time anything bad ever happened in my life, and trust me when I tell you, you don't know what it costs to be me. It costs a lot to be me. From the abuse of people, to the stalking, to the haters, to the pressure of money, to the travel, to the whatever. Demonic activity, and I don't want to go there a lot because people are like, whoa, you believe in the devil? The devil's real. Like, I don't believe in the devil. The devil told you that, stupid. The devil is real. There really is a devil. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. I was looking at a guy the other day. He was amen real big when I said that. And I said, why are you amen so big? He said, I've been married to his sister for 19 years. He is real. But the enemy fights you. It's not normal that you should have had this kind of struggle. It's not normal that you should feel this inferior. But when God saw that you were hated, he brought people into your life like me to tell you this. He loves you, and he's going to bless you in spite of what is happening to you. And every new level comes with a new devil. And when God told me to start the church, some of you don't know me, but I started a church in St. Louis originally. We have in Florida and St. Louis now, but at a church of 180 people that grew to 18,000 in a record number of time. And there was a lot of hell. I'm saying it's a clap, but there was a lot of hell in there. If you knew how my family came against me, and my brothers came against me, and people came against me, and cities came against me, entire groups of people came against me. The devil came against me. And I had to say, I'm committed to do what God told me to do. And this is the way the Lord wants me to do church. I could have come up and be a professional, wearing certain things, saying certain things, doing certain things with certain organizations. But I decided, not I, God had for me a unique ability to speak in a comedic way, in a loving way, in a non-judgmental way, the word of God, and get it into people's hearts. And so he asked me to build him a church for people just like you. And our church in St. Louis is 70% Catholic and Lutheran. And the same in Florida, largely. And because I believe this. Here's what I believe about God. Number one, I believe that God is a loving God. And I believe that all good gifts and perfect gifts come from God. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the one stealing, killing, and destroy. But it's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. So when you get to heaven, there's going to be a Baptist door. First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist. There's going to be a Pentecostal door. There's going to be a Charismaniac door. There's going to be a Presbyterian door. There's going to be all these different doors of all these different Lutheran doors, Catholic, all these doors. And when you walk in those doors, you open up those doors. If you believe in Jesus, you walk in those doors. There is Jesus right there standing, welcoming all those different labels. But they're just labels. So that's why I don't want you to say, Mama won't allow me to come because we're Catholic. Mom won't allow me to come because we're Baptist. That is the wrong way. That's segregation. We need to be embracing of all people that lift up the name of Jesus, all people that don't lift up the name of Jesus, and tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But if we do it in a loving way, a non-judgmental way, then we're doing what God called us to do. So for me, that's what God told me to do. When he told me to start Faith Church, I had to be committed. I'm still committed. There were certain times it was so pressure, I felt like I needed to be committed. Even this week, got some virus from touching a lot of people, shaking hands, and caught something that blacked me out. And you can't see it here because makeup, but I got a hole in my head, a hole here, blacked out. Paramedics took me out. And I had a TV show to do the next day, and they kept intervening. I was just, you don't even know, but I was starting Ferguson Florissant Campus. And so the enemy was trying to stop me, knock me off of my commitment level. So I'm saying, let go of whatever stops you. If insecurities stop you, let it go. If unforgiveness has stopped you, let it go. All you're doing is poisoning your own cistern. You need to say, God, I forgive them. God, forgive me. The rest of my life's going to be the best of my life. Thank God, at least now I know that you saw the injustice. You saw that I was hated. And God, you worked it and turned it around for my good. And let me tell you this, that God's bigger than you think he is. And he can handle it. You think that you need to go tell those people at work what for? I deserve that promotion. They took my idea. You hate on them. You should just say, you know what? It doesn't matter who gets the credit. I wasn't doing it for them. I was doing it for God. And you take the high road, and it won't be long till you take the high, loving, forgiveness road. You'll be producing like she did. You'll be producing all this goodness, the business, the children, the happiness, the wholeness. And the person who might look happy and look pretty are really sometimes miserable because they never had any real production. So the outside of their box, their Instagram, their Facebook page, their website looks great. But deep down, it's not so great. They're not really happy. Because one of the greatest things you could ever do is lay down at night on your pillow, sleep great without Lunesta, Tylenol PM, wake up in the morning refreshed knowing, hi, God, it's me again. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm equipped. I'm qualified. I'm on divine assignment. It's not going to stop me. I know they said I got 6 months to live, but I'm saying that I'm healed. And what it does is it starts releasing things in your body neurologically that brings freedom. You know, when just you walk and you drink water, all of a sudden, your brain expands and you feel life and vitality. When you start getting up in the morning and saying, I'm healed, I'm strong, I'm anointed, I'm qualified, I feel good, it sends signals to your brain and your body says, we feel good. Instead, you're like, oh my Lord, it's morning. I just feel bad. I hurt so bad. I need to sell my house because it's got stairs. I'm getting old. How old are you? I'm 29. No, guess what? No more Kentucky Fried Chicken. Limit the Taco Bell. Increase the water flow. Increase your positive affirmation. Increase what you're saying about you. Increase the negativity that you're saying about other people. What's it matter what they do? Well, they doesn't matter. You need to be so busy fulfilling your life and your dream that you cannot worry about them, because you're praising Him, because Judah is in your mouth. Come on, Judah is in your heart. Somebody ought to help me right now. Judah is in your future. So you praise God in the hospital. You praise God being hauled out in an ambulance. You praise God when the attack comes. You praise God when you feel like praising God. You praise God when you don't feel like praising God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He said, oh, come magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name forever. For the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. His loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise Him. Thus will I bless Him. I will lift up my voice and hands to your name. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If I was talking to you today here in this audience, at all of our campuses, or even by television, I want you to raise your hand, even the privacy of your home, raise your hand if you say, oh, you were talking to me today. You can put it down. It's almost everybody here. And I bet it was everybody watching by television. God, I pray right now for our friends. Lord, that they will call upon your name and invite Jesus into their heart. Just say this prayer with me. Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, forgive me of my sins. And from now on, I'll talk to you every day. And I'll go to church and serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand today if you loved it.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.